granted, dear, in life begins at 80. You're a little young to be reminiscing so much, but you've really made a study of jokes, I know, and we're delighted to have you on our program.
Well, Jack, I'm very happy to be here with these very wonderful panel members.
Wonderful.
And he'll believe it.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another in this series of programs that we call The Comeback Story. Each week, we bring you the story of a person who has lost his rightful place in life, but through tremendous courage and a fighting heart, has earned the right to a comeback. A Roman philosopher once said, true courage grapples with misfortune. And the people whose stories we've told have demonstrated to all of us the meaning of true courage. Now, tonight's story is the most interesting one. Most interesting in a great way, because it is the beginning of a story that has to do with an era, a fabulous era. And it concerns a famous personality in the world of music, who came here as a penniless immigrant and soared on the wings of his distinctive music to a special niche in radio's Hall of Fame, only to have both fate and fortune desert him. And here with us in the theater tonight are people who were close to him during his outstanding success. Many of them haven't seen him in years, but they're here to help us tell his comeback story. I said this man is synonymous with an era. Yes, probably the most fabulous era in our history. The Roaring Twenties. Prohibition, Flo Ziegfeld, Lindbergh, amazing prosperity, and Marconi's incredible invention, the radio. For the first time, a flick of a switch brought the world's greatest entertainers right to you in your living room. And every important program had its theme song. You didn't have to guess whose program it was when you heard. That's right. That's right. Yes. Every night at 8 for 16 years, Two Guitars was the famous theme of Harry Hollick and his A&P Gypsies. And here we are tonight. He's our guest on The Comeback Story, Harry Hollick. I'm most happy to see you again, Harry, and in good health. And before we start you on your comeback trail, we want you to listen to our Ed Cooper, who is the spokesman for our Sealy Mattress Company, our sponsor, who has some very exciting news for you.
Thank you, George. You know,
he and his A&P Radio Immortality, Harry Hollick. And Harry, I can't tell you how glad that we are to have you with us tonight, looking the way you do.
Thank you, George. I'm very grateful.
Well, we've said that you conducted the famous A&P Gypsies Orchestra for 16 years. Now, that began in the early 20s, didn't it?
Yes, George. I was one of the first ones.
On the radio. I remember it well. 1922, yes. How well I can remember. My, my, in those days, Harry, you had just about everything, didn't you? Fame, money, and above all, a wonderful wife. Now, to tell the full story, Harry, we should start at the beginning. In a city in Caucasia, now Russia, in the early 1900s, there were 8 children in the Hollick family, and the one thing that they had in common was a dream. A dream of the new world, free America. And when Harry was 9 years old, 2 of his brothers and 4 sisters had already responded to the lure of the new world. And one by one, as the passage money was raised, they embarked on a long journey westward. Only Harry, his oldest brother, Yevtsey, and his parents remained. But the dream of the new world remained with them. And then in 1913, the parents, too, came to the United States, right? Leaving but 9-year-old Harry in his brother Yevsey's care. And as per custom in such a family, the older brother took care of the younger one. Isn't that right?
Yes, he did, George.
He took care of you. I know that. And then you moved to another little city, and there you studied at the Conservatory of Music. And then in 1918, just as you and Yevsey were ready to join the rest of the family in the United States, the Revolution. And you were drafted in the Bolshevik army. But your dream would not be denied. And what midnight? One midnight you and your brother made secret plans.
Keep safe. When?
Tonight, Harry. It's all arranged for tonight.
It is certain death if we are caught.
It may be our only chance. We'll head for Constantinople. The United States Consul there will give us papers.
You say. Don't forget my violin. America.
2 hours later, two men in peasant's garb started their escape. 9 weeks. 9 weeks, it seemed like 9 years, living like animals, cellars, ditches, every breath filled with the threat of sudden death. And another lifetime of suffocation in a coal bin, and then, finally, Constantinople. And a short time later, a trip on a ship to America. And as the ship passes through New York Harbor, the hundreds huddled in steerage are able to see the invitation on the base of the lady with the lamp. This was the fulfillment of a dream, wasn't it, Harry? Yes. Emma Lazarus' deathless verse. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Those are beautiful words, Harry, and I guess you really know their true meaning, don't you?
Yes, I do, George.
Well, here you are in a strange new land with strange new customs and a strange language that you didn't speak.
I found that language isn't so important, George, when you have music in your heart.
That's right, but music must be heard, and it has no meaning as long as it's pent up inside you. And then you heard that the New York City Symphony was conducting auditions, isn't that so?
Yes. Well, speak up.
My English, I speak very little.
All right. You are a musician. Let your fiddle speak for you.
Thank you, maestro.
Where are you from?
I am from Russia, maestro.
Ah, another Russian violinist.
But, maestro, I am the only Russian violinist who has never played fiddle for the Tsar.
Play.
There are three kinds of people that I never thought I'd ever meet. And that is a native Californian, a poor Texan, and a Russian violinist who never played fiddle for the Tsar. Of course, Harry got the job. His English was terrible, but his music was beautiful. And from the City Symphony, you organized a small orchestra. Is that right, Harry?
Right.
To play gypsy music in a cafe called the Petrushka, where you got the big break that started you on the road to fame and to fortune.
Well, that's wonderful, Harry, wonderful.
Thank you, Mr. Clues.
Play it again, will you please?
Mr. Clues, 9 times already the same song. Please, what do you want from me?
All right. Harry, how would you like to go on the radio?
What is that radio?
Well, you know, you'd go on the radio and you'd lead your orchestra and you'd play these tunes just as you play here. My grocery company would back you. They'd be a sponsor.
I don't understand what
now, here's my car. You come and see me tomorrow and we'll talk it over.
All right, Mr. Clues, tomorrow.
Hey, Harry. Harry, what's going on?
He wants me to play on his radio program, but his grocery, it's ridiculous.
Harry! Hey, Harry!
Grocery store. This is the very same card that Harry Hollick threw on the floor that night in 1922. Let me read it to you. George D. Clues, treasurer, Great Atlantic and Pacific Tea Company. Some grocery store, the A&P, huh?
George, how could I know the A&P? I barely know my ABCs.
Well, at least you're able to remember the name of our network, huh? But your music at last was being heard. And the bow became a baton. The nightclub floor a podium as you lead your own orchestra. Harry Hollick! As A&P gypsies and the haunting gypsy melodies were a pleasant sound to the American ear. That was in 1922, and then the lonesome strings of a gypsy band of six grew in the ears into the fullness of a symphonic rhapsody. It was the top bugler's organization of its kind, and having achieved stature as a conductor, you then became a composer. And you repaid the America that had adopted you and nurtured you with songs. Songs, Harry, that I don't think will ever be forgotten, like the gypsy melody that became your theme song, Two Guitars. Yes, from a fragment of Russian melody remembered from your childhood, you fashioned a song that has enriched the music of this land. And as radio grew, so did you. This new medium of entertainment became an important part of every home. And to miss an A&P gypsy was like missing your dinner. And as you progress in this new medium, other personalities progress with you, making this era one of the most fabulous in the history of American entertainment.
Major Bowes and his Capitol Theater Company. Jack Pearl, the famous Baron Munchausen, was your dad, Charlie. Paul Whiteman and his concert orchestra. And ever so many more who have left their memories evergreen in American entertainment. And by this time, Harry Hawlick, America was buying your music in a big way. Your records of Strauss waltzes alone sold more than 7 million copies. And your song collection of Gypsy Memories was on every music counter. Your composition Whisper to Me and Gypsy Eyes were bestsellers. Yes, on your musical canvas, you had painted an indelible portrait. They occupied a high place in America's gallery of fame. And you were no longer alone, but your side sharing your glory was a lovely and a loyal wife. And her eyes shone and still shine with rightful pride. But in your success, you never forgot your humble beginnings. You remembered that calling card that had been your call to fame, and knew that other talents like your own would be lost without your help. You never stopped searching for ways of supplying that help. Now, I know of one occasion. That was the wedding of a trumpet player in your orchestra. And the violinist who'd been hired just to play for the dancing sang at the ceremony and said, I don't want any extra charge.
Sing a nice song, young man.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
How would you like to sing for me on my radio program?
But I'm a violinist. I'm not a singer.
Please, you'll save your violin for the weddings, and for me, you'll sing. Come and see me tomorrow. My card. And you, young man, what is your name?
Pierce. Jan Pierce.
And so, Harry, you discovered the magnificent voice of Jan Pierce.
Couldn't be helped discovering him. Talent like him had to be discovered.
That's right. And I'm sure the Church of Voice couldn't remain hidden. Unfortunately for us, but fortunately for Jan, he's appearing with the San Francisco Opera Company tonight and couldn't be here. But the boy who just played that part of Jan Pierce is here now, and he's going to thank you. Well, I'll tell you, who has a better right to thank you? This is his son, Larry Pierce, Jan's son. This is Harry Hawlick.
Dad has told me many times how wonderful and how marvelous it was to work with you through all those years.
Thank you, Larry. And when you see Dad, tell him to take care of my magnificent voice.
That's right. And look, if the California smug gets in his voice, you tell him to take a little lemon with some hot water and tea. Because all through the years, that's how I've protected my own magnificent voice. Anyway. Oh, thank you, Larry. You know, that was only one of the many musical personalities whose careers you encouraged, Harry. And fostered, and whose names today twinkle brightly in the musical heavens. That lovely lady whose voice thrilled millions, Miss Jessica Dragonette. I've just received a telegram from her that I'm going to read. And says, George Jessel, please say this to Harry Hawlick for me. To Harry Hawlick, the true musician, with remembrances of the thrill of singing Dark Eyes, to your wonderful conducting, signed Jessica Dragonette. And then, one of your former announcers, who later became an ABC vice president, Phil Collins.
That's right, George. So many wonderful artists sang under his baton. Frank Parker, Jimmy Melton, Gene Connolly, Felix Knight, Howard Price, Carlos Ramirez, and the beloved Frank Munn. All of us who worked with him owe Harry Hawlick a debt of gratitude.
Now, suppose we take a glimpse, at the many awards that have just come in here now. Here they are. There's a plaque of the Radio Stars Award for Distinguished Service, and the medal presented to Harry by the Chicago World's Fair, and the Bosch Award Cup presented to Harry in Washington. And here is a picture of Vice President Curtis making that presentation. Who are those other people, Harry?
You see, there is Morton Downey, Buddy Wally, Jessica Dragonette, and Dave Rubinow.
That's right. And here's a tribute valued, perhaps above all the others, a silver tray containing the signatures of the entire company of the Gypsies. And as a matter of fact, there are six of the original band who are here tonight, and I'm going to ask you gentlemen, formally with Mr. Hawlick, to take a bow, if you will. To 1938, 16 years of accomplishment, of constant work, without vacation or respite, from the pressure of a demanding business. And so, a man gets tired. And the body sends up
little warnings that it's time to rest. And the man is right to rest, to retire, to reap the rewards of his success. After all, why not? Plenty of money to take care of him and his wife for the rest of their lives. Why not? Money invested in good, solid, substantial stocks. And enough time to travel, see, and do the things that they've never taken time to do before. To sit in the sun and enjoy all the simple things in life, huh?
Yes, we look forward to a wonderful time together.
Oh, yes. Now tell me, how many days, Harry, did it take you to lose that fortune that you'd saved in 18 years?
10 days.
Ah, yes. $500,000 in 10 days. $50,000 a day. A ticker tape chatters away, and that sun you were looking for goes into an eclipse. It hits you pretty hard, didn't it, Mrs. Hawley?
Certainly did. But we had each other, and we had a lot of years ahead of us. Then there was no orchestra, but Harry had his violin, and he went back to work.
But the public was still buying in the millions, the Strauss waltzes. Now, let me ask you this. Couldn't you live on the royalties?
Oh, in those days, we didn't know the value of royalties. I took a flat fee.
A flat fee. But the theme song that you wrote, the two guitars, they still buy that sweet music. What about the composer's royalties on that?
Well, the song was registered in my name, but it proves to you what a poor businessman I was in those days.
You never made any legal claim to the royalties, I understand. All right, now that's done and you're broke. Now, where does an orchestra leader go from there, huh? One of the most important men in the world of music, rather. One of the most important men in our time as far as the radio is concerned. What is he going to do now? What is he going to do? He's retired, but he's broke. Now, an actor, a singer, a dancer, a comedian can stage a comeback. A gesture, a joke, overnight he's back. What's an orchestra leader going to do, huh? He can't look into the classified under Help Wanted and find a listing orchestra leader wanted, no. There was nothing to do but to start all over again the way you did when you first came to this country alone and friendless, right?
Yes, George, but this time I had friends like Al Goodman, Archie Blyer, and Sal Guzico. They were wonderful friends, and I'll never forget them.
Mm-hmm, and they'll never forget you. And neither will the public, because your fighting heart has earned you the right to a comeback. No matter how much of the former glory has gone, your talent remains. Talent for composing, conducting. You've never stopped expressing yourself in music. I know you've turned out a lot of songs in the past years. And I have a feeling that recognition on the level that you deserve is going to come your way. Maybe sooner than you think. I want the public to hear one of your latest songs, Harry. And a surprise guest, an important guest, is going to sing it in a moment. I want you to conduct the orchestra. So get that old feeling of the baton again, huh? There's an extra surprise, too. Two or three, maybe, huh? Now, Harry, before that big moment does come, we know it's going to be full of magic for you. And our sponsor, the Sealy Mattress Company, has also a bit of share magic to show our friends first. And a very charming magician to do the show.
Well, a lady magician. But that's not her best trick.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, instead of me introducing Harry Hawley back as a conductor to his podium, I present the man who originally introduced him. He has interrupted his tour and came back from Pittsburgh just to make this introduction. He is one of the most popular and deservedly so announcers that radio and TV have ever had, Mr. Milton Cross.
Thank you, Georgie. Now Harry Hawley conducting his own orchestra once again in his own composition, One More Tomorrow, and his guest soloist, Bill Lawrence.
One more tomorrow. That is all that I ask you to love tomorrow, just as we love today. Don't go away now, turn from joy, only taste it. So much is wasted if we love but a day. One more tomorrow. That you'll stay here, then all tomorrow I'll be praying you may, like me, discover that your heart wants to borrow one more tomorrow after every new day. Thank you. that your heart wants to borrow one more tomorrow. After every new
well, that was a beautiful composition, Harry.
Thank you, Joe.
And now we have arranged to have it published by Paul Kapp. It'll be on sale in the music stores within 3 weeks. How do you like that, huh?
Fine.
Now, listen. Well, publishing is just only half the job, just half. I'd like to have you meet the sales manager of the MGA Records, Mr. Charles Hassan. Mr. Hassan.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
MGM Records is going to do the other half. Don't be surprised if you find that selection on an MGM record in the stores very shortly. We're also going to release an album of yours to hit the market about the middle of December. Tango's for Two. Congratulations.
Thank you
very much. Here is a member of the board of directors of ASCAP, the most famous composer and publisher, Mr. Irving Caesar, who has something to tell.
Hello, Harry. Nice to be here. I can tell you that at the very next meeting of the board of directors, our classification committee is going to review very carefully each and every one of your compositions, and every performance credit that you should get, you will get, and with the greatest of pleasure.
Thank you. Well, that takes care of Harry Hollick, the composer. Now let us discuss Harry Hollick, conductor. He is the star of ABC Television, Miss Nancy Craig, and the producer of Paul Whiteman's American Music Hall, Mr. George Weiss. Miss Craig, Harry.
I'm delighted to invite you to join our roster of famous guest conductors and be with us on next Friday, November 6th, will you?
Thank you, I will.
Good. We look forward to it.
Isn't that wonderful? Thank you, Nancy. And now, Mr. Weiss.
Harry, Paul Whiteman has asked me to extend to you an invitation to be our guest conductor on one of our Sunday radio shows, the American Music Hall.
Wonderful. Thank you both. Now I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. You're going to conduct the Georgie Zestel Show on Sunday at your first availability, and your first fiddle player will be Paul Whiteman. How do you like a thing like that? Now, Harry Hollick, tonight's music has been played, but the melody will linger on. For your baton will not be stilled as long as your great musical talent keeps beating time. Good luck, and may God be with you. Next week's comeback story will be presented by the Acre Products Company. Before I tell you about it, let's hear from the makers of such wonderful products as these.
This